Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Getting Savvy with Catherine and Melissa. Melissa, we're filming on a Sunday, not too normal for us. No. I actually had the football game on. So.
Yes, I know. Sundays are hard. My kids are about to get home from skiing. It might potentially be loud soon, but getting back into the groove of things, and Fridays have been so busy. And then we filmed a little extra episode last night, a little bit more casually, which was really fun. So
fun.
Yeah, we'll post a clip of that too. We sort of did like mocktails and trivia.
Right.
Our own version of like a healthy drinking game where we learn something and drink alcohol-free champagne.
There you go.
Actually went out after and had a bite. It was fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And not a late night, which is always great. Mm-hmm. So why don't I just start with the markets? You know, if you recall, just prior to Christmas, we started to see the markets pull back a little bit. It's almost as though all that exuberance and animal spirit post the U.S. elections, you know, powering those markets higher started to, you know, not falter, but just ease off, cool off a little bit. That's not too surprising. And we also actually started the new year that way as well. So people were a little bit concerned about higher interest rates, higher yields, a little bit hotter inflation. And, you know, inflation isn't a positive or favorable towards economic growth. So that's why, and remember, the economy feeds into corporate earnings, feeds into stock prices and valuations. So that's kind of the ripple effect. But then what we received this past week, because we're always kind of looking back over the past week, we did actually get cooler CPI. So that's one inflation reading, and cooler PPI. This is in the United States. I'll get to Canada as well, of course. And, you know, that combined with a strong jobs market, it's what they call almost a bit of a Goldilocks scenario. So the animal spirits came back into the market this week. Those U.S. markets were higher. And you also saw the price of oil higher and Bitcoin up over 100,000, in fact, reaching 105,000 per Bitcoin. And that in part is on the back of reports that President Trump is going to designate crypto a priority. And keep in mind, tomorrow is the inauguration.
Yeah. Yeah, Bitcoin seems like more and more people are bullish on it and wanting to hold it, and also just unsure about what the economy is going to do. So sort of like holding it in their back pocket as well. And also, like you said, like Trump seems to be favorable to crypto. But does that also mean that like smaller crypto companies and new coins are going to come, and there's going to be much more of that as well?
I think there's some thoughts about that, but it is interesting because I think that it's been easier to almost just go to Bitcoin itself. But I, because that's what I've done, I really haven't looked at the smaller coins. And by the way, I never did going back, even though, you know, if you wanted to take a, you know, to me more of a gamble, you could have done that. But we might see that play out depending on how they develop cryptocurrency and what they include it in and their framework for it and the regulations around it. So it is possible, Melissa, and maybe that's something that we should be keeping our eyes on.
Do you know how much it costs to buy one Bitcoin?
Well, Bitcoin itself is worth $105,000.
So does that mean one Bitcoin is worth $105,000?
Yeah, Bitcoin is 105.
Canadian?
You know, I should check. No, that's got to be US. I'll triple check. But I also want to
Bitcoin jewelry.
Bitcoin jewelry.
Yeah.
Get robbed.
Right? Well, it's like, if you think about it, that's what we do with diamonds. You know, you wear a diamond necklace on your neck, and that's worth $100,000. Some people wear that and walk around with it, you know?
True.
I don't know. This seems so nuts to me. It's interesting though, because like it used to be diamonds were very rare, right? And hard to mine, hard to get, and they had such value to them. And now with lab diamonds, they're sort of losing their scarcity, you know, it just seems,
maybe.
Yeah. So, Anyhow, maybe
I know.
get engaged with a Bitcoin.
Exactly. Maybe that'll be maybe what's in 2025. The
Yeah.
other thing I just want to point out as well, when you think about the markets, and because you always want to think, can this continue or is this just a short-term rally? I'm giving you all the terminology that we talk about on a trading desk. Is it a short-term rally? Is the rally sustainable? And when you do, again, look at the economic indicators in the United States, industrial production was better than expected. Housing starts were better than expected. Small business optimism in the United States was at a six-year high. So there's a lot of different indicators, and some are more telling and leading than others. But taken together, a lot of those economic indicators look very favorable towards a market that can continue to move higher. I'd also just point out that, and we've talked about this, I think when we first started doing the podcast, you know, we get earnings, we get corporate earnings, we get to see the results from corporations in terms of their revenue, their profit, their margins, the demand for their product, and their outlook every quarter. So this past week, we started to get those results, and they always start with the big banks, and the banks did come in better than expected, sending those shares higher. So again, banks reflect economic activity, right? More borrowing, more trading, more investment deals. You asked me about investment deals the other week, and there's definitely the view that we will see, you know, more mergers and acquisitions, and that, of course, you know, brings in fees for an investment bank. So there's a lot of ripple effects to what is going on, again, from a big macro perspective and bringing it down to stock specific or company specific stories. So again, going back to the very first podcast, what I love about the markets and investing is it's reflective of everything that goes on in our lives.
Well, yeah, I mean, today in my life, I did a little shopping and I went to Alo and I'm wearing this little pink set. It's
Oh.
so cute. It's got like matching pants and a sweatshirt and it's got a little tank top. And it's just busy and it's great. Like I really am liking the products there. It's expensive. And then I wondered, like, is this private or is it a public company? Because it's a similar, like it would be a competitor to like a Lululemon. And
Right.
it's still private, but I was reading about it that they're thinking about a potential IPO this year. And like you said, there might be more IPOs and more mergers and acquisitions. And yeah, that's one to keep an eye on.
Yeah. How do you like that product versus Lululemon?
It feels more high-end and not just like athleisure. It feels more like clothing you would wear. Like, for
Really?
example, this is more of a set that I would wear if I was going out to lunch or going out, whereas Lululemon still feels more like you're wearing it to go work out.
Okay.
And I think I'm seeing a lot more people. It's also a higher price point. So Alo, it's very expensive. Lululemon, which is also expensive, is still like a better price point. And then you have all the Amazon copies, which are great too.
Yeah. So I'm reading, so Alo is it is private. It's owned by two gentlemen, Danny Harris and Marco DeGeorge.
I
So
wouldn't be surprised if it goes public. It just seems to be getting better and better.
okay.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of other stocks to talk about, but what's new in your world this week?
So, what are some health stories that caught my attention? Well, first off, I mean, there's this red dye number three. So, if you follow me on Instagram, I spoke about this earlier in the week. But for those of you who don't, I'll just sort of like reiterate. So, I'm sure you've seen it all over social media and the news. It got a lot of attention that the FDA has finally banned red dye number three from foods and beverages and medications in the US. So apparently, people have been complaining that this was in foods for years, saying that it's been shown to cause cancer in lab rats and in animals. But the FDA was saying, well, there's no evidence that it causes any cancer in humans. And if it was going to cause cancer in humans, it would be at a much higher level that we wouldn't typically ingest. So it wasn't really a priority. But legally, they were in the wrong, and that's why they removed it, because there's a clause called the Delaney Clause that says that dye cannot be approved if it's been shown to cause cancer in animals or humans, and this has. So legally, the right thing to do is ban it. Do I think it really makes a huge difference to our overall health? No, because it's not even in that many products. It's probably only in a few dozen products. And usually they're unhealthy and processed foods that they're in. And if someone wanted to avoid them, they could just say, okay, I'm not going to eat that red brand of licorice because I'm concerned about it.
Oh,
It's
right.
easy ways to, like,
Licorice.
yeah, avoid
Licorice.
it. It's funny because I actually love, I don't eat a lot of candy, but I do like good Swedish berry. And I was like, oh no, do Swedish berries have red dye number three? They do not.
They don't.
No, they have
What
red dye
does?
40, or I don't know. Anyhow, bottom line is you shouldn't be eating a lot of food colored candy and processed foods anyway. And if you have a handful here and there, I don't really think it makes a huge difference. But legally, they were in the wrong because technically they shouldn't approve a food. What I also find interesting, though, is so many people who complain, you know, in California, this was banned already last year or in 2023. And a lot of these people that are complaining about, oh my gosh, it's been shown to cause cancer in animals. How can you possibly include this in their food? Are the same, you know, men and women that might be sitting at home injecting themselves with Ozempic that's also been shown to cause thyroid cancer in animals. So it's a little bit of like,
Oh, wow.
yeah, you know, like, what's the word? Hypocritical, maybe, but oh my God, you know, the fact of the matter is that. And I always say I get made fun of sometimes because my favorite quote is the dose makes the poison, the dose makes the cure. So, but how much you're ingesting. But overall, look, do I think we need dye in food and drinks to make it a shiny red color? No. So get rid of it. And they're doing that. And I think they have till 2027 to get it out. Canada, we have it. There hasn't been a change in our law here.
Interesting. I need to read some research reports about, and a lot of the time, at these various investment firms, right? So you'll have analysts that focus on one specific industry, one area of the market, like consumer staples and what falls under consumer staples, some of these branded food companies, right? Like a PepsiCo or Coca-Cola or what have you. And I really need to, so right now I'm sure those analysts are really doing an in-depth dive, is what it's called, into what happens to some of these companies and their products, and can they reinvent themselves, which some are doing, as it relates to Ozempic. Like we've talked about some of these consumer food companies having more protein-focused snacks. And also now with some of the dyes with RFK coming in, who's got the most exposure? And those companies in general, the consumer staples companies in general, they haven't been performing nearly as well as the market. So you have to sit back there, and it's kind of worth understanding what happens to them. Do they go lower, or is it a buying opportunity? So I can tell you
So
that
when
a
you say a
lot
consumer staples company, give me an example. So you said Pepsi would be one of them.
PepsiCo, back in the day would have been Gillette. You would have Coca-Cola,
Like
obviously. So,
Frito-Lay, like some of those.
well, Pep. So interestingly,
Oh,
Pepsi
they own
owns.
Frito. Right. Okay, I think that.
So a lot of the company. So what I always do as well, Melissa, is whenever I look at see a product, and particularly when I like, or maybe even when I don't like a chip bag or whatever, I always look to see who owns it. Just to always understand whose portfolio it's in.
Interesting. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I
true. Because,
look.
like, I mean, like, Pepsi doesn't just own Pepsi, they have a
Right.
whole lot of brands under them, and same with Coca-Cola. And interestingly, so as we've talked, and we talked about this with our trivia game last night when you quizzed me on what a dividend is, do a lot of those consumer staple companies give dividends?
A lot do.
Yeah, because they're not really growth companies, right? So if you look at
Correct.
them not performing as well as the market, or at least this is my understanding, they may not, but they may still be paying you a share of their profits through the dividend.
That's
So.
exactly it. So as an example, some of the other consumer staples companies, so what falls under consumer staples as a sector, it's like we've talked about food and beverage, household products, so like cleaning supplies, personal care items like toiletry and hygiene products. Tobacco also falls under consumer staples and alcohol. And so as an example, I mean, I've never been a smoker ever, but I do own a tobacco company, and I own it because, it is a sin stock, but I don't think people are quitting, and they it's a stay it's been a pretty stable, it's obviously stable cash flow. And so when you have large companies that have stable cash flows, they are the ones that tend to pay dividends, and let alone even higher dividends.
So I think it's a good segue into another health article I saw this week about tobacco and nicotine, and that the FDA is seeking to put through a law that has these tobacco companies reduce the amount of excuse me, they reduce the amount of nicotine in cigarettes and certain cigars. So they want to lower the amount of nicotine in cigarettes to a threshold that would make them less addictive. So they're saying if you smoked one of these cigarettes, you wouldn't be as likely to get addicted because the nicotine level is lower. And apparently the research shows that it won't lead people just to smoke more and more cigarettes, which would be even worse if you kept, because the part of a cigarette that's so linked to lung cancer isn't really the nicotine. What it is, it's the combustible tobacco. So it's that that leads to the chemicals and tar and carcinogens and carbon monoxide. That's the combustible smoke is what's dangerous. So if you have someone smoking and smoking and smoking, even if they lowered the nicotine and that person's still smoking 30 cigarettes a day, it would not
Oh.
be very good. It would be terrible for you. But what was interesting is that they didn't take it a step further and they didn't recommend lower nicotine levels in their vape and Zyn products. Now, we are going to do an episode on this where we talk to
A specialist.
a specialist, because vaping is a huge problem in youth. You know, so many young people are vaping because the way these e-cigarettes light up and they can smell good or look cool, or and you know, you can't really tell because they don't have that awful cigarette smoke smell. So a lot of kids are vaping and the nicotine levels are high and they're getting addicted. And once you get them hooked, they're hooked. Nicotine is one of the most addictive substances on earth. You never smoked. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say, but I did. And
For how long? I can't picture that.
I
You and your little,
know.
and you're in competing in gymnastics with a cigarette,
I
I
know.
doubt
No,
it.
it started after. You know what? It was in university and you know, we just would, it would just, people did it. And, you know, we were living on our own and you would go to a party or a bar. And at those times, you were able to smoke indoors. You could be in a bar and people were smoking and you were getting the secondhand smoke also. And I got addicted. Like, that's what happens, right? So you don't want to be smoking, but you feel, and it's a horrible feeling to feel that you wake up and you need something. It's you don't have freedom of just being yourself. You're looking for something. You need to go find it. It's horrible. And thank God I quit. I remember in those days people were using the nicotine patch to quit. And I actually remember putting the nicotine patch on, going to medical school, coming home, taking it off, and having a cigarette. And I mean, I am lucky that I kicked that, but at one point I wasn't sure that I ever would. I was very addicted. I couldn't imagine having, you know, a good meal without it, or going a drink, or you know, being in a car ride, or you associate all these things with it, but really it's just about nicotine addiction. There's nothing enjoyable about puffing on a, you know, an herbal cigarette. So I don't know. In saying that, I really do think that the reason they want to do this is they want to get adults who are addicted to smoking off cigarettes. At least if they can't get their nicotine fixed from the cigarette, they'll get them switched to vaping. And at least vaping is shown to be, so far from what we know about it, less risky for lung cancer than smoking cigarettes is, because you don't have that combustible tobacco, right?
Yeah, but
So
I think the concern is though that it is just still so bad and that all these youth are getting addicted to it, right?
well, that's just it. So nicotine in of itself is not healthy and it leads to increased heart rate, increased risk of heart disease, stroke. It's, you know, not good for you. And also, we don't know about the long-term effects of vaping yet and what those chemicals do. You know, one of the chemicals in vapes is this acetaldehyde, and that's actually the chemical that alcohol converts into that's shown to be carcinogenic. That's the carcinogenic part of alcohol. So this is why I think it will be interesting to have a specialist in this area. So, long story short, I think that it's a good thing that they're going to reduce the amount of nicotine in cigarettes. I think hopefully that will help adults who are addicted at least switch to e-cigarettes, or nicotine patches or Zyn that are less harmful for lung cancer. But I also think what it means, but the fact that they're not reducing the nicotine level in vapes is because they still want you to be addicted to their product.
Yeah.
The nicotine that makes people addicted. And that's why these are billion-dollar businesses and people invest in them because
Yeah.
they pay a great dividend.
Yeah. So as an example, the one I own is Altria Group. So the ticker there is MO.
Yeah.
And it
Which
pays
used to be
us.
Philip Morris, right? Or no?
Yeah. Well, they split up. So
Oh,
there's
they.
MO and there's PM.
Okay.
The dividend is 7.87%. So
Wow.
now that depends on where you bought it, but I make a nice dividend on it. I will tell you that it did. I don't know when that news came out, but within the past week, I believe, and the stock did dip. I'm looking at a chart. So another thing you can do is whenever you see a piece of news and you wonder if it's good or bad for a stock, the first thing you should do is look at the stock price and look at a chart, and you bring up Yahoo Finance and you say hit the chart, and you can look at it from a 5 day, 1 month, 1 year, 10 years, whatever you want. And you can see the movement in the stock. And if there's no movement, it's kind of like saying the market doesn't care, not a big deal. Or in this case, the market did drop the stock. My point is that, and by the way, the market can sometimes be wrong. But if you're looking at this, or you're on a hedge fund or a trading desk, they're doing this all day long. And so if you invest with one of those people, they're doing it on your behalf, and they're probably scooping up some shares, because since then, the past 5 days, it's been up 1.5%. So it recouped those losses and actually has moved higher. Again, I own this. I don't need to
Got
watch it
it.
on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, how long have you owned it for? Just ballpark.
4 years, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
Are they
I mentioned
in the
to,
S&P 500?
I'm sure. So we'll get to that
Okay.
in a moment. I mentioned to you, I think in the beginning of the podcast, that one of the things I've been doing for myself over the past 4 or 5, 6 years, maybe even, is trying to build myself a dividend portfolio. So that's where you own the shares, but my return isn't just based on the stock going from $10 to $20. These are large corporations that they generate a lot of cash, and as a shareholder, they give some of that cash to me. That's called a dividend. So it's just a nice way to own a stock, hoping to get capital appreciation over time and getting paid to own the stock.
Yeah.
So as I get older, like I just want to, and the reason why I do it is because I just want to always have that income coming in. And with
Yeah.
that income, I can save it and I can buy a property, or I can save it and buy more stock.
Yep.
Could go
I like it.
shopping. Yeah. So could go. One could go shopping.
Oh,
But
I
you
did some damage today at Aloe.
did you?
Yeah.
I can't believe it's that much more expensive than Lulu, because I
It's
find Lulu
so.
expensive.
I know this is, well, it's on par or a little bit more, I would say. Yeah.
But you are
But
athletic. So
it's
you're
good
running a
quality. This is the thing. This is the difference. I don't like spending money on like a dress that I'm going to wear one night, take a picture in, and then what, never wear it again. Like, whereas this clothes I'll wear over and over and over again. So I kind of justify it with my girl math that it makes sense, right? Because you're getting a lot of use out of it. So then that takes the price of the thing per wear down, right? When you buy a dress and you wear it once, that's not great. Whereas
Right.
this is stuff that you can wear a lot. So
Yeah.
anyhow, it
Justification. It makes
justifies
sense.
itself.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. Philip Morris, or Altria, MO, is in the S&P 500. Not surprising. S&P 500, the largest 500 companies, unless there's some issue. And so the index does choose, which companies actually get in. So that's why I wanted to triple check it, just in case, for whatever reason, it
Something.
wasn't in. Sometimes if companies aren't good performers, or their sales have been declining, market cap's been declining, which we're going to talk about later, sometimes they might, it's what's called being moved out of the S&P 500. And because there's 500 companies, if one goes out, they bring one in. And so there's a so when another company comes in, and some ways to manage money is to benchmark against the index. You try to mimic everything in there. If there's a new company going in, you have additional buying power underneath, because anybody who's trying to mimic that has to buy shares of that company to have the same weighting.
Oh, okay.
as the S&P 500.
So
So
if you own the if you own an index that has the S&P 500,
yeah,
so
which you do,
yeah,
by
so
the way.
VFV or VOO, do you still get paid the dividend?
I've looked at this and I think I'm gonna have to triple check,
Okay.
because some ETFs will pay the dividend and some won't.
So that would be curious to look at to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some are dividend ETF paying companies. Some of those dividends, I think, go right back into the value of the shares. I'm not, I think it really depends on the ETF provider and what the ETF is and what it stands for.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that we should talk about too, you brought up Ozempic not too long ago. It was interesting, and I get your take on this. Eli Lilly, so one of the Ozempic drug makers, well, Mounjaro and Zepbound, I guess Ozempic and Wegovy is Novo Nordisk, but Lilly had weaker guidance. They had softer sales of the Mounjaro and Zepbound. And so that stock was down, I think, 9% on the back of that news.
Huh. So they were selling less.
Yep.
Interesting. So now this means they're selling less to the who's buying it from them?
I don't know.
The pharmacies or the because it could it be that like a lot of people are already on them, so they're having less new people start them.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, you know, it's because a lot of people over the past year, couple years, they're already taking these drugs, and so you might have less people that are new to it, so the pharmacies aren't needing to purchase it. I don't know. I'm
Yeah.
not,
So, yeah. So something like this. So as an example, so Lilly being down on this news, sometimes it could be they don't have it, didn't have enough inventory. Like that's sometimes
Okay.
one of, that can be a reason too. But for something like this, when I have, when I worked on Wall Street, and again, we had specialists in every area. And prior to being what's called a generalist, knowing something about every area, I did specialize in specialty retail and e-commerce. And so the best thing to do in a situation like this is to actually talk to a pharmaceutical analyst who will know what's in the pipeline for Eli Lilly. Was this an overreaction? Was there an issue with the inventory? Is this just a lull? Were physicians away, during December? Like, there's all different types of reasons.
Well, I can tell you a lot of people, or I shouldn't say a lot. I happen to know of some people that during the Christmas season, they went off their GLP-1 drugs because they
Oh.
wanted to enjoy eating and drinking a little more and they wanted to save the money to put it towards travel and Christmas gifts.
Oh,
Yeah.
very interesting.
Yeah. So these drugs are expensive, you know? And so people, they feel it, right? And so if they want to put their money other places, some people are like, oh, I don't need this. Like, let me just, you know, eat a little more for the next
Right. That
month or so. And then they realize, oh God, I'm gaining a lot of weight back. Oh shoot, I better start back on. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more
There you
people
go.
back on it now. But over
Yeah.
Christmas, the holidays, people, because you know, these drugs aren't without side effects. When you do eat or drink more, first of all, you can and you don't feel well. And a lot of people don't want to not feel well while they're on vacation and when they're enjoying and celebrating. So
So we can watch that. I also just want to point out that there is an ETF that represents all, the big pharmaceutical companies. And there's a couple of them, but one is called DRG. And so, as an example, if you don't want to be company specific in terms of understanding all the ins and outs of one pharmaceutical company like Eli Lilly versus Novo Nordisk versus Pfizer, you can buy an ETF that represents all of them.
right, if you just want to be in that space.
That's right. That's right. What else is on your
So it's
radar?
funny. So we were
Yeah, tell
talking
me.
about this. You and I were chatting about this yesterday, and I was saying how the Ozempic and Mounjaro reminds me of the back years when Viagra and Cialis were all the rage, and they still are. People are taking them, but they're generic now. So, but when initially when they were discovered, they were meant to be blood pressure medications, and people realized in the trials that hey, I'm getting an erection And they realize that, okay, so maybe these drugs are actually gonna help men with erectile dysfunction. And it was a blockbuster drug. And there was Viagra, which was the biggest one. It was sort of like the equivalent of Ozempic. People know the names Viagra. Like, it's what people think about when they think about these drugs. And I think it was made by, and you have to
Okay,
double
I'll
check.
check.
Yeah, it might have been Pfizer. I don't know. And then Cialis was a competitor. And so some people were on Viagra, some people were on Cialis, and these drugs are still so popular. There are so many prescriptions for them, but they're generic now. So you don't have to get the name brand anymore. And I was curious how that affects their sales and
Sure.
to their stock. And we can maybe look, and it would be great to talk to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get a I want to start. So the evolution of this podcast is we're going to get some experts on. So we'll get, pharmaceutical biotech is also interesting.
Can you imagine being in that trial and reporting it? Because, like, you're in a trial, you're on this new drug for blood pressure, and you have to report what side effects you're getting. Can you imagine if you're a man being like, I'm getting these erections? Like, I wonder if some of them didn't report it, like
Well,
thinking it
yeah, were
was
they
negative.
honest? Were all of these men honest?
Probably, because
But you
then
know
they
what?
realize, well, this is what it's good for. And a lot of
Yeah.
people get discovered like that. They're meant for one thing and then they get repurposed for another reason. I
But
mean,
Melissa,
these drugs were, yep.
I didn't know that until you told me yesterday that the original purpose for Viagra was to lower blood pressure. And then I said, well, what does lowering blood pressure have to do with getting an erection? So can you just describe what happens to your blood vessels?
Yeah, sure. So these drugs cause what we call vasodilation, meaning it dilates the blood vessels. And
So it makes it bigger.
so you get more blood flow. And when you have more blood flow to your genitals for men, it helps with their erection. So that's the reason a lot of men get erectile dysfunction when they get older, because they might have cardiovascular disease, and the arteries
Oh.
are very small. So if you have cholesterol plaque, or high blood, things that affect those diabetes, things that affect these blood vessels, you're not getting the same blood flow, to the genitals. And so these drugs,
Interesting.
really help. And that's why one of the side effects from them can be dizziness and headache, because it's also dilating the vessels in your brain and making, so that's why people can get a bit of a headache or feel dizzy.
Sounds like an excuse after sex. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So Viagra was developed by Pfizer. And then I also want to go back to, I did check. So the S&P 500 ETF, when I brought it up on one of the finance websites, it didn't show the dividend. But of course, it makes sense that there would be some type of dividend because a lot of these companies pay a dividend. So the yield, so the dividend yield, so what you're getting on your money is like 1.23%. So it's less, it's probably less than if you went out and decided, hey, I'm going to buy this stock. I've done my homework. It pays a 3% dividend. And I think it's, got it's attractive, that the valuation is attractive. So,
Okay, interesting.
okay. And then also just to point out, Bitcoin, yes, it's US dollars. So right now the quote I'm getting is 103,491 US dollars per Bitcoin.
Really?
So in Canada it's $152,000 per Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And this is one of these things that there's not, you can't just keep getting them. Eventually they'll run out of them. You can only mine so many and then it's done.
That's right.
Oh, so interesting. I
Yeah.
find this whole area and this whole blockchain, and it's just
I think blockchain is going to be the more, not more, but it's going to be a very interesting area that, got talked a lot about back in the early crypto days. And I feel like we probably don't talk about it enough because there's so much else going on. And I think that it's going to be the way for authentication. And
Okay.
so for a number of things, even like when you think about how AI can mimic a person or create a person, there has to be some way to
No.
authenticate if it's the real person or not. So the, surface reading that I've done is that blockchain will be the way to do this. Again, we need an expert on this.
Yeah, which clearly I am. This is all just crazy sci-fi stuff to me, but
But it's
interesting.
important. So yeah, so we don't have, you and I don't have to be the experts on this, and because
No.
there are people who spend all 24/7 doing it, but I think it's important to, these are the conversations that are going on that I hear about through different, you know, investment people that I deal with.
I was reading this stat and I can't remember. You know what? Let me look it up because
Okay.
Interesting. And
what I will say is you look that up, Melissa, one thing that I think is kind of caught, well, it's definitely caught people by surprise over the past 4 years has been how well a number of energy companies have done. You know, a lot of people, because the view was even pension funds said, oh, we can't invest in an energy company. It's fossil fuel. So the energy sector, the entire sector was left for dead. There wasn't a lot of development. What does that mean? That means there's less supply. That means the prices go up. That means it's more expensive for you and I. And so some of these stocks have done really well. And I started investing in energy solidly.
Can you give me an example of what would be some of those stocks or what?
Okay, sure. ExxonMobil.
Okay.
Huge, major integrated company, oil company, right?
Okay.
And integrated means they've got development, they've got refining, they've got, like, they do the whole vertical of energy. That's what an integrated company is versus an energy company that just does refining of oil to make the product.
Okay, so help me understand why they thought it wouldn't do well. Don't we need oil?
Yes, but remember, Melissa, going back, like, even 3 years ago, you know, everyone's saying, well, we won't need any fossil fuels in 2030 or 2040 or 2050. Why? Because they thought everything was going to become electric.
Vehicle wise.
Everything.
Okay.
And so, but to me, that never made sense.
Yeah.
We can't transition that fast. It's still 90% of all energy is fossil fuels in the world. And you've got developing nations, India and China, using coal. They're not transitioning that fast. And so it was an interesting opportunity, I think. But my point is, I still think the opportunity exists. And what I wanted to point out was that CIBC actually upgraded a couple of Canadian oil companies. Imperial, IMO is one of the ones that they upgraded. Tourmaline, which the ticker there is TOU, one of the big Canadian energy companies. I don't think they mentioned this one, but it's Canadian Natural Resources, CNQ. So, you know, we have a lot of great energy companies here in Canada.
Are these mostly out of Alberta?
I would think most are.
And aren't they very worried about that if the U.S. stops buying our energy and oil with Trump?
It depends.
The tariffs.
It depends on the type of oil. Like, it depends on what their business is. I shouldn't say the type of oil. It depends on, you know, what exposure their business has, whether it's natural gas.
Okay.
Whether it's oil, what have you. So again,
speaking of that, I mean, just not to do with it, but have you watched Landman, the show?
Not yet.
Oh, it's so good. And they
I hear that.
Oil Patch, and it's Billy Bob Thornton, and he's amazing in it. And it's all about them working it's about the industry. It's
okay. And out of Texas? Is it done out of Texas or Oklahoma?
I think
or?
So. Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, Midland, Texas.
Oh, okay.
It's really good. Cowboy hat last night would have been.
Okay. We'll start it tonight. But anyway, I have mentioned energy and oil to you a little bit because it's still the way the world's operating. You know, whether you agree with it or not, you know, sometimes as an investor, you know, you don't want to be emotional. I mean, you can decide to invest and not invest in things like fossil fuels. Like, again, a lot of pension funds around the world, they started selling their Exxons, right? Like 6, 7, 8 years ago, saying, no, we can't own this. And
but
so
why can't we? Because, like, ethically, they didn't want
yes,
to own it.
Yes, ethically. Sorry, I should have said that. So ethically. And so these stocks were just hammered to the downside. And then I was fortunate enough to interview on air so many times Rafi Tomasian, who's, I think, one of the best energy money managers in the world. And he's out of Canoe Financial. He's actually just retired, but he does have somebody who's taken a spot. So I bought his fund, his alpha fund, so which means he can go long or short energy or the markets, and did exceptionally well. So I did that. And then I also owned and own energy stocks specifically on their own.
Interesting. Well,
Yeah.
have
So
energy.
I think it's just some, what did you say?
Gotta have energy.
Gotta have energy. So it's something that, we'll get an expert on that to come
Yeah,
in.
and I imagine those pay good dividends as well.
Some of them pay great dividends. I've got a great dividend with Exxon.
Yeah, that would think so. Especially when with a stock where there's like, same with the tobacco, when there's like a little bit of an ethical or a moral, it's like,
Yeah.
but here you go.
Yeah. Here you go. Well, they're not giving you the dividend because,
I
like,
know. I know.
okay.
But
But
so
okay, what else
what?
is going on with you?
Okay, so this one caught my attention too. And this is kind of a health topic and a wealth topic in one. So, okay, FIGS is the name of a medical apparel company. So they make scrubs that look good, basically. So you've probably seen me wear them. I have a black pair and a blue pair. And you've probably seen any like nurse injector who's doing like Botox and filler. They're often wearing these cute little sets, right? It's like the pants and the, it's like a cute scrubs, and they're all made by this company called FIGS. So I read, and I'll read it to you, that. So basically, they rejected a takeover from a private equity firm called Story 3 Capital Partners that valued it at more than $1 billion. So basically, some private equity firm came in and said, so FIGS is a public company. They went public in 2021. The company was started in 2013. And this private equity company, who already owns some of their shares, said, we want to buy your outstanding shares. I think they were going to buy them at $6 a share. And FIGS said, no, they rejected the offer. And on that news, the stock actually fell. So first of all, I found it interesting that, like, oh my God, good idea to make cute scrubs. And now you're worth $1 billion. Like, I find it so, sometimes you have an idea as an entrepreneur and you think to yourself, that's an area that doctors go to work all the time, and some other professions get to wear uniforms. And you're lucky in a way when you get to wear uniforms. You don't have to think about what you wear, Whereas doctors don't really have a uniform. All they have are these like the surgical scrubs, but the other doctors don't have anything to wear, and nurses. And so the company was like, well, let's make them look more fashionable. So they could almost look like, you could wear them. Whereas other scrubs, like if you saw a surgeon wearing his surgical scrubs out of the hospital, you'd think that was gross, like weird looking. Like, first of all, like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to like show off that you're a surgeon? Like, or is that dirty? Like, whereas these scrubs from FIGS, they just found a way to make it good. And the funny thing too, it seems like that would be really a really easy business to replicate. Like with so many cheap like ways to make, it just seems like they're going to have a lot of competitors.
Yeah.
But I guess they feel like that bid wasn't high enough. Maybe they thought they could do better. I think at one point I read it was valued, I think when it IPO, they think it was valued at like $4 billion. So it's obviously come down since then.
So yeah, actually, I'm looking at this chart. You said 2021 it became public, right? I think that's yeah. So the stock, I don't know what it's called IPOing at. I don't know what it IPO'd at.
So tell us
So
what IPO, what does that mean?
IPO stands for initial public offering. So you always set when you're going to take a company from private to public. Public means it has shares outstanding that you can buy, I can buy, pension
For
funds can
public.
buy. So it's nice because you have an opportunity to own a great company, right? And I'm not saying this one is, but I'm just saying in general. And so you set the IPO price at, and this is what the investment banker in capital markets and what I used to do, you set the price at what you think the market feels is a fair value. So interestingly, FIGS was when I'm looking, I don't know what the exact price was. It looks like it was maybe about 35 bucks when it became public, rose up to over 40, and it's now trading at $5.94. So, and it had quite a quick fall, and it hasn't done anything since essentially 2022. So that's where, pricing a deal right, meaning a right value, one that investors believe in and think can go higher, is really critical and really important. I'm getting into the weeds a little bit as to how Wall Street works, but it's really important that, the investment bankers and capital markets and sales and trading, like I do, know what the investors, the big hedge funds, think is the right value and price it right, because you don't want the stock to fall for 2 years. You want it to be where the buyer feels it's going higher and the seller thinks he's got a good deal. You want it to work. Yeah. So
well, it's interesting that they rejected the offer. And that the stock price fell. You would think that. So I wonder if a lot of their shareholders like, well, I don't know.
Well, there's reasons why the stock could fall in the back of the news. One is because it's possible that people thought they might sell, so it gets bid up ahead of that.
Okay.
So that's one reason. The other reason is if you've been a long-term shareholder and you're tired of holding the stock and you thought this was going to happen and go through and it didn't, then you might just say, I'm going to take a loss on this, or I'm getting out regardless. There's a lot of different reasons, but it is down 82% since its all-time high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's an example of like, I still love figs. I buy them all the time and everybody around me is wearing them, but sometimes everybody around you doesn't necessarily reflect, you know, just because you're wearing it, it's popular and the company's good, doesn't necessarily reflect the stock, because who knows, maybe they get their materials from China. Maybe there's other reasons making it more expensive to produce. Maybe there's
That's
more
right.
competition. Maybe anyhow.
Well, no, I think, but that's a really important point, Melissa, because sometimes when you and I talk about stocks, we might love and like the product. Maybe the price was just too high. The stock price was too high. They didn't grow into that valuation. So that's why, you know, you always have to still look at, you know, the fundamentals, right? Yeah. We look at the product, we can get an idea, and then it's like, okay, well, let's dig into the details.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So what I was going to say that caught my attention earlier this week was that Robinhood. Mm-hmm. So Robinhood is an example of an investment platform. Like, so people can have Robinhood and they can buy stocks and bonds and stuff through Robinhood.
So another trading account, like you can do Questrade, you can do BMO. You're saying Robinhood's another one, right?
Correct. And so first, and also it's publicly traded Robinhood. So yeah, it says the stock has jumped over 300% in the past year, with revenue up 36% in the third quarter of 2024. And an interesting stat was that over 40% of Robinhood's total revenue comes from option trading and crypto alone.
Mm.
So it just is sort of what we spoke about earlier. Like when we talk about, you know, for the average person that's looking at managing their portfolio and long-term investing, you know, sometimes these apps like Robinhood, they're very gamified and they're meant for people to be buying and selling and buying and selling. But really, the average investor, that's not a good plan for long-term investing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be looking at it all the time. You want to buy and hold good companies, index funds. And it's interesting, when I saw that with Robinhood, it made me feel like, is this like gambling? Like, you know, you and I have talked about it as gambling. It feels a little bit like DraftKings. Like, oh, I'm going to put money on this today and take it out and option trade and like all these different things that are, you know, I just don't know how, I'd find it interesting how that's changing the market.
Well, you have to remember that that's always been part of the market. And did we have those platforms before? No, not necessarily. So does it allow it to grow? Sure. But the people who really move the market are the big pension funds, the hedge funds, the mutual fund companies that manage billions and billions of dollars, not, you know, smaller retail investors that go in and out of stock. So when you think about, when I think about how something affects the market, I think about who can move the market.
Okay, that's interesting.
So you're saying, and then I either want to get on board or I want to stay out of their way. Okay. You can't fight that, right? Well, I shouldn't say that, because that's what the whole, you know, what was that? It's skipping my mind now, you know, that when they were fighting against Wall Street.
The GameStop whole thing?
Yeah. So you can, I guess you can.
You can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. But don't, yeah, that's a whole nother story, because that was focused on a couple of stocks that some hedge funds were shorting. That's a whole nother thing, which we can talk about. One thing, though, that we should also talk about, because you and I have mentioned this before, was if people remember the negative news surrounding TD Bank and the money laundering that they got fined for in the United States, sent that stock down, a big underperformer versus the rest of the Canadian banks. And you and I said, maybe we should take a look at it and buy it, which you did. And interestingly, B of A, so Bank of America in the United States, their analyst just upgraded the stock, I think on Friday, and it was up 4.4% just on that upgrade. So yeah. I say this in the sense that these Wall Street analysts, to our point about what can move the stock, some analysts, particularly if they're well-respected, can move a stock. So
right.
to gain 4% in one day is a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Depending on your side.
And I'm going to do nothing with that information. I'm just going to buy it. My plan was like where I bought it. And my plan is just to hold it.
Yeah.
Not look at it. And not be too affected by the day-to-day news.
Yeah. And I think you're
the investor I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've got a nice dividend with it. I'd also point out too, that speaking of Robinhood, Morgan Stanley upgraded the stock. Actually, I don't know if they upgraded it. They said it was one of their top picks the other day. So that stock was also up 4.5%.
Yeah, especially with, because with more crypto, if 40% of yours is crypto and these like trade.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So interesting. Do we want to talk at all about, well, we should. I mean, the big news this week, of course, is going to be the inauguration. And different things that I've read is that perhaps President Trump has 100 executive orders that he might implement like day one. He only had one executive order his first term. So, you know, we kind of need to be somewhat prepared. We also know, of course, that the Canadian government says that they will retaliate and have a list of that. I think what's interesting for people like you, for all of us to know, is what does this mean to us? Okay. We've talked about the Canadian dollar, you know, being so weak. It is below 70 cents. It's been in a dive. And, you know, the reason what I do, what is important about currency markets is they don't lie. Like they really tell you what is going on in this moment in investors' minds. So it's a totally different market than the equity market, than fixed income market, because it kind of represents the country, right? Your currency kind of represents your country. So when you see a currency like ours that has been in a downward spiral, it's reflecting all of our economic policies, the lack of leadership, the chaos in Ottawa, and the potential tariffs coming, and the lack of growth, right? All the issues we know about, housing unaffordability, slow growth, no growth, essentially. So, but because of this lack of growth, there's the view that the Bank of Canada, our central banker, will lower rates to help stimulate the economy, right? However, it's also interesting to note that if we get in this tariff war, if we do, tariffs are taxes. Taxes makes things more expensive. That leads to inflation. If we have higher inflation, it's quite likely that the Bank of Canada cannot lower rates. So I say this in the sense that, you know, if you're sitting there with cash and you're wondering like, okay, do I invest it now because rates are going lower? Maybe not, because maybe they're going to go higher. So, and also, what does it mean for your borrowing costs, for your auto loan, for your mortgage? So it's a very unknown period right now. I mean, we'll have to see. And it does take time for tariffs to impact the inflation. So it is possible that Bank of Canada still lowers rates first and then has to raise rates. But it's a lot of gyrations for people to have to manage, I think.
Yeah. I think, I mean, on the one hand, you can think, well, if you think of our currency like a stock, you could say, well, you know, it looks like what, you know, Trudeau's resigned. It looks like we're going to have a more potentially like Polyev, more right-leaning government who's more focused on boosting our economy, getting inflation down, getting people, you know, dealing with these things. So it could be we're at our lowest right now. And there's all this uncertainty because we don't know who our next prime minister is going to be. And we can therefore, you know, hopefully go up from here. On the other hand, like you said, if these tariffs come into play, we lose our biggest trading partner. And we haven't really, they're criticizing Canada for not doing a great job of finding other trading partners for us. Then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think you're looking at it the right way. You always want to look at like a stock or current and whatever you're looking at. It could be this way or it could be this way. And that's what the big money managers are doing all day long, like 24/7. And I am in touch with somebody who's an FX specialist and can see the flows. Flows means who's doing what. And I will reach out to him. Just, I'm curious myself to see if there's any big players coming in buying up the Canadian dollar as a longer play, thinking we will get better. I don't think we're there yet because there's too many unknowns, just knowing how these guys operate. But, you know, at some point it's, I hear you. It could work.
Yeah. Did you see the hat that went viral that Doug Ford was wearing? It was like, we're not for sale.
Oh no.
You see that one? Yeah. And apparently they can't keep up with the orders for like Canada's not for sale. We're not for sale. I think it was him. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, it'd be a hefty price.
Yeah.
Because we have so many incredible natural resources, an incredible country, incredible citizens, well-educated, nice society, you know, it's a sovereign, we're a sovereign nation.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more clear do we need to be, right?
Yeah.
But okay, Melissa, anything else on your end or what are you going to be focused on this week?
No, I mean, we'll see. Let's just see what the news brings this week and, yeah, and we'll reconvene next week with new president of the United States, with potentially no TikTok in the United States.
Yes.
With, you know, yeah, there's going to be lots of hopefully these wildfires in California. That is going to be, I can't, you know, that I think is the major, I just don't know what that's going to do to what Trump's going to have to do and what kind of money he's going to have to give and how that's going to affect the U.S. economy and inflation. And I don't see how these insurance companies are going to pay out the all the people in California. So I think we'll be talking about that next week. And I didn't want to bring it up too much today, but also, I mean, just in terms of what all that smoke and air pollution does to people that are living, you know, in L.A., inhaling it. For asthmatics that are seeing, they're seeing a major bump in asthma exacerbations and people going to the hospital. And
wow.
Yeah. So curious to read more about that next week.
I don't know where you find the time. We're taking kids to skating, skiing, dance, acting, school, being a doctor.
Well, I'm a bit manic.
Oh.
The mania helps. No, I'm just joking. No, it is busy, but they say like the more you do, the more you can do. Like if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. But it is amazing to me how much time, and it's so smart that you take to read, right? Like I think that you love it.
I love reading. So that's it's funny because, you know, I don't like reading fiction.
Me either.
And I just don't like reading it. And I was away at the holidays. My mom gave me a fiction book and I'm trying to get into it because I want to discuss it with her, but it just, I don't, you know, I don't love to imagine. That's not what gives me, that's not what does it for me. I like to think. So I like to read nonfiction and think about things. That's just how I relax and what I like to do. And, you know,
Yeah, it makes sense.
I was just telling you, I read most recently The Revenge of the Tipping Point. If you're looking for a good nonfiction book, it was interesting.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah.
I've read a number of his books over the years. They're always great.
Oh, good. He's such a good storyteller.
Do you remember the one from eons ago about what you should name your child? Remember that? Didn't he have a whole thing on that?
Well, they talked about your child, like the birth year of when they're born will impact how likely they are to be a professional sports player.
Oh.
If you're born earlier in the year, like in January, then the chances are you'll be bigger.
Right.
Right? And so, yeah, they talked about that. But I didn't know what you should name your child.
Yeah, I'm sure that was in one of his early books.
What should you name your child? Like maybe
It depends on the year. So I can't remember.
Well, maybe a name that could go like, but what do they call those names? It could be a female or male name.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think they talked about, I don't know that they talked about that then. I'm going to have to look this up.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right.
Dinner time for me. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Right.
Okay. Later. Bye.